Yeah.
Welcome to WTF at TFW, where we will talk about Modern Warfare 2 any time of the day. Any time. Let me tell you, those 1887s, thank goodness those just got nerfed this morning. Because, my God, I tried those things out. That was ludicrous. That was absolutely ludicrous, and don't you try to tell me otherwise. That aside, I'm joined by two gentlemen. Seth Buzzard.
Do you use the noob tube?
Dude, did you get that one title where it's like, it's got marijuana on it?
Dude, I got like three that are like totally stony, dude.
I bet Infinity Ward. I bet those guys. I bet they smoke joints.
Yeah, they do, man. They get
high. It was better than that, baby. Oh. And also with us today is Gog Dog.
I could totally see Seth as a hippie. Like, he just needs to grow his hair out a little bit, but he'd make a good hippie though.
He's chill. He's cool. Gog.
Hey, well, if you'd let me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But, yeah. But, speaking of video games, I was playing on Team Fortress 2 the other day, which I've done pretty much every night for the past 3 or 4 weeks. And I was playing on a server. It was one of the Texas Team Players servers. And one of the guys on there that was playing with me on my team... goes by the name of Toon World, was like, hey, are you Gog Dog from the WTF at TFW podcast? And I was like, yeah, actually. And he's like, oh, I love you guys. So shout out to Toon World on Steam. Random, he distracted me and got me killed, but it's forgivable. So
was that the big Demo Man versus, was it Pyro? War going on right
Devil
now?
Devil Man versus Soldier. No, Soldier. That's over. Yeah, that's over. Soldier edged it out.
So. I had a feeling, and I was rooting for the Demo Men, but I had a feeling the Soldier had...
I was rooting for the Demo Men, too, because they were the underdogs. I knew the Soldier was going to win. I just thought it was going to be by a lot more, but it was actually a pretty small margin. But
had a lot of Demo Men. A lot of people suddenly became Demo Men just to try to throw that wrench in there.
Like, yeah. Well, I was one of them, actually.
Good man. So, all that aside, though, we're here to talk to you today about Transformers.
Reel us in, Vangelis. Oh. Reel us in.
I thought you said re-listen. I was like, re-listen to what? Duh. All right, yeah. Reeling us in. Wow, I messed that up. We're going to talk about a topic from last week because it was such a big topic that I thought we were going to get another one of those crazy updates, and we didn't, so I don't have an excuse this time, but I'm going to just throw it in anyway. I would like to know what you guys think about the Power Core Combiner, Huffer, and Caliburst. So, Seth, you go first and tell me your thoughts.
Well, if you listen back to when we were first talking about the Power Combiner whole thing, and I couldn't have been more wrong as to what ended up happening. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised to see what it is, and kind of thought, oh, that's cool. I like Huffer. I like his orangeness. It's pleasing to my eyeballs. And it's cool that it's like a Target Master thing. I just don't know where it's going to fit in.
Yeah.
Or if this is going to be like some brief subline. I mean, it'd be cool, like you guys were talking about in the last episode, like what kind of size it might be. I think it would be cool if it was scout size.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, and like the scouts were allowed to be kind of their own subline. Because I get kind of hung up on scale, which is a horrible hang up to have when it comes to Transformers, because like nothing's in scale. It's like if two characters are in scale, it's like a mistake. Somebody screwed up somewhere. So one of the things that kind of puts me off on scouts is they're so much smaller and so much more out of scale. So if they had just like their own little line, that would be really cool. So hopefully they're scouts.
I agree with you. That excuse me. That actually goes with the reasoning why I really adore the Revenge of the Fallen Scouts and why I really adored Real Gear was because the Revenge of the Fallen Scouts, even taking Scalpel into account, to be perfectly honest, I feel that they're their own little subline of very characterful little dudes who you could just like line up and say, this is a television show that never happened. You know, here's the motorcycle and the truck. They fight the creepy red car and the giant microscope. And it works for me. Real Gear also had very defined hero and villain head sculpts and designs going on. So I would be up for Scouts just always being their own little thing where it's like they're not just the cheapy Transformers. They're the ones which are like, we have a lower budget constraint. We're going to work in that, and we're going to just make a bunch of little guys who would be really cool to collect all by themselves. So I think they're on that road already, and if Power Core was like the Scout thing, that would be really cool too. Gog, what do you think about Huffer and Caliburst?
Well, while Seth couldn't have been more wrong, there's still a possibility that I couldn't have been more right.
Oh,
I can see what I did there. We still don't have any word on whether this is part of like the new, you know, universe implementation that's supposed to come out next year. Mm-hmm. It's still possible. It could be part of the new series. I don't think I'm supposed to say any more than that. So there's something that may lead me to believe that is the case. Nothing definite. I'm not going to say any more about that. It's nothing big, but yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. Even so, I mean, it looks okay. I mean, it's kind of like a Target Master that only works in vehicle mode mm-hmm. so far. I mean, who knows? And they may be different for every figure. So it may not be, like the Target Masters that were designed to do the exact same thing for every figure and have the same peg and everything. So we don't know if this is the same case or not. I mean, or who knows? Maybe they are universal and all the little buddies can go with all the other figures. But looking at what I'm seeing now, I would be leaning towards no. They're going to be specifically designed to work with one character.
Yeah, so, and I'd rather have a Target Master that over like a Mini-Con too. Like a little bro that becomes like a weapon or a head or a motor than an even more out of scale helicopter or something.
That was one of the goofiest
ass things with Armada. Like in the cartoon, it's like, oh, here's all these Mini-Cons that turn into tiny cars that people can't even get in. And it's like, why do you do that? Why do you turn into something too small to be an effective disguise?
Well, I would be up for like if you shift the priorities that the Mini-Cons had and go like, all right, we're gonna have little robot partners, and primarily they will turn into something for their buddy, and then like maybe work in a little buffer zone and go like, but some of them could maybe plug onto the other guys using this function, but make it so it's like, you know, 80% this guy is a gun for Huffer, and then maybe like leftover 20%, if there's wiggle room, he can also be like a piece of armor for some guy if you fold him in a certain way.
Yeah, you can't tell obviously from the box art, and I mean, it's possible he may only work in vehicle mode, but that would be cool if he could just transform into like a traditional Target Master. But I don't see any. Are there peg holes in his hand? I can't tell. It might be.
We were talking about how Huffer has a very similar thing on his chest to the Power Core logo, and how maybe it would be like, in vehicle mode, he's that little mortar thing on the back, and then in robot mode, maybe he somehow clips into the chest in some way.
Yeah.
Like, as an abstract thought, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, if they were going for traditional Target Masters, they probably just would have called them Target Masters, unless they lost the rights to him or something. So chances are this is going to be different in at least some way. Who knows? And maybe even in vehicle mode, like Seth was saying, engines and stuff, they might not, even though we see Caliburst here transform into, you know, some sort of artillery cannon that goes on the back of this truck. The other characters may not even be weapons. They may just be all sorts of different stuff.
I could also see them maybe in this modern day and age not wanting to use Masters as a title. I don't know why, but
it's too overachieving.
I don't know.
I guess.
Like Target Master, Power Master, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some, maybe that doesn't play like it used to.
It might offend kids who aren't masterful at what they do. They'll be like, what if I'm not a master at targeting? What if I'm only a B-plus at targeting?
Well, I don't think it would be bugging kids, but, I mean, look how...
My son is only a B-plus at targeting. What are you trying to say about my son?
I'm more worried about parents. Like, look how much things are been softened over the last 20 years or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Fire Blast.
Yeah, it's... Oh, whatever. I don't... fine. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm agreeing.
No, he was agreeing with you.
Fire Blast is one of the things where, to this day, I've never understood how firepower needed to be turned into Fire Blast. Like, I put on my most PC thinking cap, and I was like, I still don't get it, because it's clearly a gun. How does changing it to Fire Blast make it less harsh? Like, power is too strong a word.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, on all the tech specs... Well, that's what you're talking about. I'm out of it.
We're all synced up.
Hey, you're still recovering from your sickness 2 weeks ago.
But he is. Well,
I'm trying to recover from work today. It's been bananas. Hate holiday schedule. Screw you, Christmas.
Santa's sad now.
Yeah, he is sad.
Well, the other thing I want to throw at you guys, I was thinking about it, actually, since the last podcast. That thing on his chest, maybe that ends up in his truck mode being in the trailer hitch position. So what if, like, in vehicle mode, that is where Calibers plugs in? Wouldn't it be neat if they had, like, a headmaster dude who has one of those, like, on his neck, so you could go, like, hey, instead of a head, why don't I put Calibers on here so you have a gun for a head? I really just want to see what you guys think of a gun for a head.
I don't think they'd go that far. I think it's kind of silly talk to be bringing up that kind of ludicrous behavior.
A gun for a head, though. Who wouldn't want that? You could look at people and shoot them.
I have vague memories of there being robots with guns for heads, but I can't remember.
Well, I'm thinking of like Mech Warrior, Armored Core kind of stuff, or even some Gundam designs where the head of the robot isn't necessarily... The cortex of the or the pilot seat or something like that.
Yeah, I had something specific in mind, but I can't remember what it was. I mean, you have Macross, which has like all the Valkyries have guns on their heads generally and can aim and stuff. But I'm trying to. I knew of a robot that actually had just a gun for a head. Like that was all there was. But I can't.
I think I kind of. I'm pretty sure that. Something along those lines is like that image in my memory is what got me thinking about that, but I couldn't give you a line name or anything. But I don't know. Listeners, you know, let's have a debate in the thread. Guns for heads, yay or nay. I say yay. One of you guys probably says nay. Seth says nay.
I just don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, no, probably
not. I mean, you want a gun for a head? I don't care. Have a gun for a head. There's no skin off my back. There's
nothing wrong with having guns for heads. They're people,
yeah,
too.
I'm going to judge you. I just don't think Hasbro's going to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe Takara will do it, but they're crazy, so whatever. Well, they'll get their Vietnamese buddies to do it for them.
We'll have gun label. Transformers gun label.
Gun label. Transformers head replacement label.
Well, moving on from that, I thought we were going to get more... crazy leak pictures, but looks like we didn't. So let's just new pick it up. So Gog, pick me a picture.
There wasn't really anything. I mean, I'm going back and like you go to the skip. By the time we get to the second page, it's already what you guys talked about last week. So
yeah, it's kind of a compact new pick picks selection here.
So I guess my first choice would be we get. In package pictures of Bludgeon, which we've seen, but we haven't seen him on the shelf at Walmart, which we have now.
And what shelf in Walmart was that? Yeah, California. That's over on the...
Yeah, just down the street from me.
Yeah, just over on the East Coast. So I'm pretty stoked I can just head out my door and pick one up.
Yeah, so this is the first time in a long time where I'm actually going to be looking for retail Transformers for a... several weeks or a couple months or however long it's been.
You know how excited I was?
I'm excited.
I went to Toys R Us yesterday, and like, Canada will not get this for a long time, but I didn't care. I was like, hey, it was sighted. Maybe. You know, maybe after the Christmas rush. I mean, I got there. There was literally nothing. Like, there were, like, 15 ejectors, and that was it. that Transformer section was cored out by Christmas. I was actually kind of surprised. But, yeah, I'm stoked. I want to find a bludgeon now.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to be looking for this guy. He's one of the few movie line figures that I'm really looking forward to, as I've said before. So I am on the hunt as of now. On the prowl.
Seth, I know you're nowhere near California, but are you going to be looking for a bludgeon too?
Yeah, I didn't. I hadn't seen that he'd been spotted. I was on Toys R Us last night doing some Christmas shopping. For people who don't know, we're recording this on Christmas Eve.
That's right.
So we are disturbingly close to the holiday.
Yeah, as of now, if you don't have, like, those of you in time with our recording, if you haven't bought your gifts right now, you have tomorrow morning, all right? Like, well, I guess you have Christmas Eve if you're doing stuff on the 25th, but if you're buying on Christmas Eve, wow, you know, you go too.
Yeah, and, like, I walked right past the Transformers, and I was like, nah. They're not going to have nothing I'm looking for. So I just didn't even bother to look. But, man, I wish I was looking for Joes. There's no Joes out that I want right now, but I wish there were Joes that I want right now, because they were $2 for $10.
Again?
At Toys R Us. Yeah. That would have been a good time. Anyway, I'm going to pick these new images as posted on Big Bad Toy Store of Warbot Defender.
Yes.
And man, I am bummed out he is so expensive. Because this dude is rad looking, but it's right around the price point of I really shouldn't.
Of big.
For how much it is.
If it helps, I checked Robot Kingdom, and it's a little cheaper there, because Robot Kingdom's over in China, but since you're in the States, Big Bad would totally deal you for the shipping. So it probably would end up being around about the same.
Yeah, and just thinking about, like, man, that would be fun to go to Disney World this summer.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. But, I mean, he's, like, they did such, I mean, it's impressive. Like, Fans Project, they really did something here. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe I could get it at a BotCon, but by then, they're probably going to be selling for like $200, and it's going to be ridiculous.
I'm really certain that you'll be able to find them at BotCon, and if I was going to make a prediction, I think that if one went to BotCon next summer and was looking for it, you'd probably be looking at $100 to $150, kind of like the City Commander aftermath, but I don't think he'll clear $200, because nothing they've done has gone that much up in price, even the G3 trailer. But then again, this is a standalone toy, so this could be a different situation.
Yeah,
it's pretty we'll wicked see. Looking though.
Yeah, and they did something good there.
I do want to throw out though, like if you don't think it's wicked looking, that's cool, because I have noticed in the discussions there are some people who are trumpeting the pro Defender flag kind of uncomfortably hard. There are a lot of people who quite rightfully are put off by the price, because the price is fully justified. That doesn't mean people still want to spend that much on something. Even if that thing was like 2 inches taller, there are some people who just don't want to spend over $50 on Transformers merchandise, period. So calm down. All right. Seriously. Like, I don't know. I understand being frustrated if you think someone doesn't get why it's expensive, but maybe some people just don't like that it's expensive, and that's it. There are some people who don't like that leader toys are so expensive, so calm down.
Is that a title in Modern Warfare 2, Uncomfortably Hard?
It should be.
Probably is.
Modern Warfare 3, Uncomfortably
Hard.
And
they've run out of weed references, they got to move on to something else.
You should get it for, like, getting 50 kills with the grenade launcher, where you get the kill with hitting with the grenade before it explodes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be wicked.
That would be a good one.
Uncomfortably hard. that thing does look wicked, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more shots of it and its release. Either way, I'm waiting for Automaton Toys to say something, because ordering it from Big Bad Toy Store or TF Source would be a lot more expensive for me than Automaton, but they haven't said anything yet, which is kind of sad. But I'm holding out hope. If I was going to pick, I'd actually move right off that and say Fans Project has finally cracked the mystery on their Bruticus Maximus upgrade set. They put out that silhouette, which seemed to have stuff to make it look like, at least in silhouette form, he has like a shuttle arm and a Jeep leg. And people are like, I wonder how they're going to do that. And they just revealed how they're going to do the shuttle arm, which is that they're just going to give you a shuttle transformer called Explorer, who is Blastoff. Like, no bones about it. He is Blastoff. And there's a couple other pieces revealed in this. Namely, there's bits that you can plug onto Onslaught's vehicle mode. Again, something we saw in the silhouette. And you can also turn him into a little launch pad for the Explorer. And there's a shot of the combined mode, which shows us that there's going to be a new head as well for Bruticus Maximus, as well as some new connection pieces onto the helicopter arm. So the current question a lot of people have is, how are they going to do the Jeep leg? Now, my thinking is that I actually want to echo something that was suggested to me in a Skype chat a while ago. That tank mold, the real tanky part of that tank mold are the big things that turn into wings that you can basically ball joint off of his back in robot mode. What if they just made some Jeep sides and plugged those on there in place? Like, that's another simple solution, but who knows? I mean, a lot of people were like, hey, the simple solution would be, why don't they put shuttle bits on a helicopter? And it turns out the simpler solution was, why don't we just make you a new Transformer shuttle? So we'll see what happens. But I am very impressed with this. It's another case of when Fans Project is faced with adversity, they will go to the simpler solution first. And it seems like now they are in the position to go for the simplest solution, which is, hey, we need to make a toy look like something else. Why don't we just make a new toy? Okay. Like, I can dig that. So I'm excited to see more of this dude.
Yeah, I'd be excited to see Hasbro take that approach.
That too? That
like
too?
How awesome would that have been, how would that have been just for them to just say, okay, well, let's reissue the Energon Bruticus Maximus, but let's just make a new dude to go with it. That'd be kind of cool.
That makes me also want to add, what I love about Explorer and Defender is that their design is done in a way where it looks like they almost put a thing on themselves to say, hey, let's act as though we're under some semblance of the design restrictions of a mainline Transformer. Like, Defender has a very movie/Universe 2 aesthetic to him, and Explorer is like, he's a very basic-looking Transformer. He looks very, you know, intricately cut and intricately designed, but basic in execution, in only a positive way. And I kind of like how they did that. Like, they didn't go totally Studio Hi-Fi overboard just because they were building it from scratch.
Yeah, doll.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm stoked. Like, I am super stoked. I hope that it can come out.
Whoa.
Can I mention one thing before we move on?
Yeah, yeah.
Since we're short, I figured I'd at least put an extra one in. We have rumor of a possible Clear Ghost Masterpiece Starscream.
I thought you were going to bring that one up first.
Well, it's just, there's a pretty big chance that this is just a phantom and it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But,
it's a ghost,
me,
get it?
Oh!
Ghostbusters!
So, yeah. That's dumb. So, half of me wants this to exist because how amazing would that to be to have a freaking clear masterpiece figure? The other half of me begs that this doesn't happen. Number one, because it's probably going to be an exclusive, and trying to get your hands a hold of a exclusive masterpiece figure is probably not going to be easy. Even though it said in the rumor that the price tag was what? It was like 10,000 yen, which is 100 bucks. That almost seems too good to be true.
Yeah.
Because Clear Henkei Starscream was approaching that as a freaking deluxe. So that's kind of hard to believe. But the other half is like, okay, we all know how fragile this mold has been. Imagine how fragile it's going to be as clear plastic.
Yeah, and there are parts of that mold that I don't think can actually feasibly even be cast in clear plastic, like some of the framework in the middle.
I mean, and there's stuff maybe they could do, like they could maybe make some chrome you know, or vac metal parts to go with it that would blend in well with the clear. I mean, there's different things you could do to give the illusion. I mean, no clear figure is 100% clear. I mean, mm-hmm. you look at all of them; they all have solid bits. So, I mean, even so, I mean, I don't know. But like I said, it's going to be interesting to see if this turns out to be true. But part of me is thinking it's a hoax or just wishful thinking.
It is still more believable than that leaked Transformers 3 script, though. I can tell you that much.
Yes.
Seth, do you have anything else you wanted to bring up, or anything catching your eye on the front page?
Not really. I mean, that Bruticus thing is cool. I mean, that's a good idea. I don't have that set, so I don't have a lot of motivation to pick up the shuttle, but that's a good way to go about it.
I could bring up a brief thing, which is going off of the Transformers Nefarious number 1 line art preview. I just want to throw out there that I wholly respect that Carlos Magno can output a lot of artwork at once, but this whole thing of like making Carlos Magno the movie artist is kind of, the line art looks better in a way than a lot of the stuff in the Tales from the Fallen, but I'm still kind of thinking like, man, Magno, that's becoming one of those names where I kind of sigh when I see it.
And it's a shame because that's an awesome name.
I know. I thought, you know, Carlos Magno, and then the guy kind of draws like a poor man's Andy Wildman. It's kind of like,
what's
also
Alex Milne?
A cool name.
What's Alex Milne doing right now?
Nothing.
He was their go-to movie guy,
and I maintain that the one and only artist in Transformers comics to not only get the movie designs but be able to produce it on like a monthly level was Alex Milne. I say was quite sadly because it's like the last thing I remember him doing was an alternate cover for a Tales from the Fallen issue. So yeah, that's the other thing I've been wondering is like, he's not busy, is he? Like, do we need this, like, Carlos Magno guy around? Are we gonna get that moose guy on coloring again too? Because I really hope not.
It's sad because Alex is a good artist and he's the best that I've seen so far at the movie designs. I mean,
yeah.
ILM concept art aside, you know, Alex Milne is the go-to guy, and it's kind of a shame they're not going to him for more of this stuff, seeing as they're putting out like 50 movie titles a month.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because like, you know, there are people, granted, who have drawn perhaps more effective movie art, but Alex has drawn very effective movie art on a monthly basis and monthly scale, and he can output that stuff pretty hardcore. And, I don't know. I just wanted to throw that one in there just because, like, sometimes I feel like, am I the only one who's not seeing Magno shine? Like, no offense to Carlos Magno.
Look at Ravage's head. It's not proportioned. Like, the upper jaw and Cyclops' eye is pointing one way, the lower jaw is pointing another, and the gun thing in the mouth that spews Reedman balls is pointing in a third direction. So,
yeah.
Balls.
I mean, the dude can draw a whole lot better than I can. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not. I mean, the dude has talent. There's no question.
And I want to throw out there, like, if you got put off by his artwork in Tales number 3, blame Moose because, like, they took the, you know, we go from that horrific Jetfire issue with the moose coloring. We get Josh Perez on number 4. All of a sudden, the artwork looks a million times better just because there's reflections on objects. So, yeah, it's not like Magno is entirely awful. It's just that there's a better guy, and as far as we know, he's not doing anything. So it's a shame. I want to get that off my chest. Sorry, Seth.
It's not that he's awful. It's just that there's somebody else that doesn't suck. Is that what you're saying?
Perhaps. Now I'm going to get Carlos Magno coming to my door. He's like, hey, Merry Christmas! Smacks me in the face.
We're going to be in the room at BotCon and knock on the door. Yeah, is Chris here?
No, we're going to be at the panel. He's just going to go like, he's, you know, Unleashed guy. Unleashed guy doesn't care anymore because the Unleashed guy's like, oh, you have attracted the wrath of the Magno.
That's the name of a supervillain. What were you thinking?
This guy's name is Carlos Magno. He sounds like a dude who kills James Bond with satellite lasers. What were you doing? I don't know what I was doing. Oh, well. Merry Christmas, Carlos Magno.
Were you people high on drugs?
Maybe. Hey, speaking on high, someone out there is probably pretty high on life right now because we got the BotCon date and location before Christmas. Like, three days before Christmas. But we also have the theme of this year's BotCon. Last year it was BotCon Wings of Honor. This year it's BotCon Yard of Gogdog. So BotCon has been announced as... I don't understand what's funny. BotCon has been announced as being at the Dolphin Hotel at Walt Disney World in... what's that country called? Florida? Florida, Ohio?
No, but there were people raging in the thread that it was not in Ohio.
Really? But,
dude, yeah. People are raging that it's not anywhere.
Like, guys, at least it's at friggin' Disney World at a resort hotel. I mean, like, I think that makes the trip more worthwhile than, like, hey, do you guys want to come out to, like, Styx, Indiana? I don't know.
Yeah, do you want to take a flight somewhere and then have to get on a puddle jumper the rest of the way or maybe a bus? Like, it has been in some past times.
Yeah, I mean, like,
or do you want to go to a major metropolitan area that already supports tens of thousands of tourists a week?
Yeah, like, I can dig the, like, you know, oh, it's far away from me. Like, it's far away from me every year, guys. But, you know, if it's not only in a big city, but it's at a resort connected to a theme park, I think that the trip can actually perhaps pay for itself in a way.
Yeah, but and where do you think the party's going to be? The award party? What do you think they're going to do about that?
Hooters across, like, the street, obviously.
Yeah, take everybody over to the Denny's. It's going to be somewhere awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not saying, you know, don't be upset, but I'm saying this is a pretty justified location to travel to. But yeah, we got the update on that. The Dolphin Hotel is apparently currently at 184% capacity. What? There's also the Swan Hotel, which is 100 yards away from it. And I would really love it if the Dolphin could get back and say whether or not I am in the 100%, like, kind of before later. Because I'm pretty sure a lot of people are just going to go and register at the Swan right now.
100 yards is like a football field.
That's still a shorter distance than the walk I had to do when I went to the next closest hotel at Texas BotCon, whatever that was, 2005.
New Mexico.
Yeah, BotCon, New Mexico.
No, that's where the next nearest hotel was.
All right. Toll booth every evening, man. It
New Mexico is also on the West Coast. It's part of California.
That's right. Right, by Ohio, California.
I was actually working yesterday and have the AOL Instant Messenger app installed on my iPhone, and I got a little doo-doo. And I looked down, and it was Empire from the boards, who also all of us hung out with a great deal at BotCon this year. And he was like, man, you must be happy BotCon's in your backyard. I was like, what? What? I was like, first I heard about it. And so I immediately went to the boards, and it was like Disney. And I'm like, yeah, Disney, 60 minutes from my apartment. And I proceeded to do the monkey dance, and then I proceeded to find a GIF of a dancing monkey and posted it in the thread, because that was about as close as you could come to what I was doing at that moment. So I'm very, 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 very happy so that I do not have to buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, when I saw that on Twitter and someone's like, dude, BotCon at Disney World, I was like, look, man, I am up for trolling the Brian Savage operation as much as anyone else, but, like, that's kind of cruel. And I find out it's real. I'm like, seriously? And then, like, how much did that cost to book the Walt Disney World Convention Center?
And I'm very surprised because not far away from that is the Orlando Convention Center, which is huge. I mean, there's like three giant portions of it. It's one of the biggest buildings that I've ever seen in my life, as far as you know, not vertical space, but, you know, width. And I've gone to several conventions there, and it's more than large enough to handle something like this. So I was quite surprised, because I was looking. I looked at, after Empire told me, I went to look, and I was like, yeah, they're going to say the Orange County Convention Center. And I looked, and they're like, it's at the Walt Disney World Convention Center. I was like, wait a minute, what? Walt Disney World? So
It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, but I mean, that's great for the people who want to turn this into a vacation. And, I mean, you're going to...
And I am sucking down Crow right now, because, you know, I was like, okay, so they said JoeCon at Rhode Island. I guess we're going to be thrown to some far-off corner. They're like, oh, you know, we're taking Rhode Island for JoeCon. Here, you guys get Disney World. It's like, oh that's not bad. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, so...
Seth, what is your reaction to the Dolphin Hotel and Disney World as a location for BotCon? And by the way, now I forgot the date, but...
It's June. June 24.
It's the last weekend of June.
Yeah. June 24 to 27. There it is.
There you go. No, I think it's cool. I think that's a cool location. I have not been to Disney World. I have been to Disneyland, which is the same but different. I want to go. It is going to be my intent to make an effort to go. I will not know for sure for possibly several weeks. And if the hotel is already at 185%, which I thought for sure must have been a typo, and it must be 85%, which is also a bummer, because it would likely be sold out by the time I got there. I want to go. I've never been to Florida, so that's something.
I thought you lived there.
This is going to be crazy for me. I'm going to be like, hey, what's up, Seth, in Florida? My dreams have come true!
I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry, but this is grounds for a whoa moment, because it's going to affect all of us. I didn't even read the story, but the rooms in the hotel come with unlimited high speed internet
and free bottles of water.
Do you remember all the crap we went through to get the podcast online every night in Pasadena?
Like, well,
who's going to pay for the internet? I'll pay for the internet. Oh, it's only good for the MAC address on my wireless device on my laptop, so no one else can use it but me. So everyone, if you want three laptops online, you got to pay for it three times. That's great.
Yeah, I ran a speed test one morning while we were there, and it was something like 1.5 down and 0.4 up. And it was like, really? For $10 a day, you're going to be pushing this garbage?
So that's not a bad price for the hotel, if you keep that in mind. Because
so how much is the room?
$134 per night.
Yeah, Pasadena.
That comes with unlimited local calls.
It's technically $124 plus $10 for all these amenities. Like they actually split it up like that in the reservation.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be bummed out if it does work out. I can go, but I don't make it into the Dolphin, because I would much rather be in the number one hotel, because, you know, that's how I roll. I'm number one.
I bet you, like, you know, when time
even
comes...
Even when the hotel sucks, like in Rhode Island.
Oh, dear. I bet you you can probably just go, you know, when the time comes, just put out a call to some people you know, just like, hey, anyone got floor space? I'm sure everyone will be up.
My back can't handle sleeping on a floor.
I can't sleep on no floor.
Well, I'm sure other arrangements can be made.
Yeah, but saying. You're an hour away, dude.
Yeah, but it's freaking free.
But it's an hour away.
It's free.
I want to be in it to win it.
Ew. I don't want you anywhere near my apartment.
He's not going to get his full achievement count if he's not at the locale.
I want to be tying bed sheets together and climbing out the window and running around Disney World at night when everything's closed.
You're going to be in a hotel. Like, the Disney World stuff is all separate and guarded.
There's a boat. He can get to the
boat.
I'm
climbing out the window.
He's going to climb out the
window. Tying bed sheets together.
You just swing off the bed sheet rope like Tarzan, land on the patrol boat, right? Hide in the back all Metal Gear style. When he gets to the shore, just dive on the shore, and he's like, I'm at Disney World.
Yep, I mean, the only thing that is going to be tough is, like, once Disney World's right there, this is one of the hotels that's, like, connected to Disney World, right?
Generally, yeah, it's right in the middle of the park. Like, everything is connected by a monorail system, so you just hop on the monorail that takes you to the park you want to go to.
Yeah, and you But you have to pay to get into the park, right? That's not part of the deal.
They
right?
did mention right. that they may have special park ticket deals for attendees.
Okay, well, that would be rad.
It's so expensive now, though. It's like $60 a head or more
To
get into the parks now.
And that's going to be kind of the bummer, because if I'm going to be
Well, you can get like
sleeping,
a 3-day pass.
Yeah. But this is where it's a bummer, because there you are, you're going to be in the middle of Disney World. But like at Pasadena, like remember the schedules we had where it was okay, here's the 6 panels and whatnot to do today. What are the 3 we're going to be able to make time for?
Yeah.
And then it was basically panel, dealer room for 5 minutes, panel again. And, there's no time to be running around an amusement park.
What I can tell you is that
that's why you do before and after.
The BotCon flat rate for the rooms, actually is available outside of the 24th to 27th. At least it was when I checked it out. So you could feasibly book like another 2 days in front or behind, etc., and go like, these are my Disney World days.
Yeah, because I'd like to get there. Like the last 2 BotCons, I've been showing up on Thursday, or the only 2 I went to. And man, that's a hassle because I'm going to work in the morning, then I'm flying out, and then I'm standing in that god-awful Thursday night lineup. And it's just, ugh. And so I'm really super-duper going to try to get at least Wednesday off and fly out a day earlier. But I really got to wait for the vacation calendar to go up and for people to start signing before I could see if it's even available for me to get the days off. But, I definitely want to be able to check out the park. I definitely want to see if Epcot Center is as boring as everybody says it is.
You never know till you tried. I also want to do that, because I've been to Disneyland twice, and it was kind of played after the second time I got there. So I want to see the world now.
Yeah, that Epcot's where they have, like, all the little themed, like, different countries.
Yeah, there's two sections to Epcot. There's like the technology and future section, and it's like they have all these different, you know,
what they thought the future was going to be stuff. In 1950s.
Well, no, it showed like they have all this cutting. They have
2000.
All this. It's like a showcase of cutting edge stuff, and then the other half is basically like it's a big lake, and there's a giant like walkable circle around the lake, and it's divided into sections, and each section is a different country, and they have
that's legitimate, what I want to check out.
Yeah, and and the food, they have great food. I mean, it's legitimate. Like they have people who like professional chefs from those countries come, and they pay them. Disney pays them good money, and they have, you know, restaurants there, and the restaurants are pretty. You can get affordable stuff, but they have anywhere from, you know, just medium, you know, just walk up to the counter and get some stuff to, I mean, they have some really good sit-down restaurants, gourmet, from all over the world.
It's not crazy. It's not crazy culinary BS like Disneyland with their, like, $10 rocket ship-shaped cookies and things like that.
I mean, they have that stuff, too. I mean, they do, but you can find some A-plus, you know, 5-star food there if you want.
If I roll into Germany, can I get Hasenpfeffer?
Don't know, buddy. But they have.
I want
beer.
Some Hasenpfeffer.
They have imported beer.
That's good too.
What I'm really worried about is
especially to wash down the Hasenpfeffer.
If we're in the heart of Disneyland, it's going to be like impossible.
Disney World
or Disney World.
Twitter's
going to crucify me again. I saved you. If we're in the heart of Disney World, it's probably going to be really hard to get some cheap, like, Coke or something like that to last you the day, because the whole way...
I'm sure there's going to be vending machines or a
They're not
going to
be kind vending
something.
Machines. They're gonna,
yeah, I mean, it is... I mean, stuff in there is... It's not budget.
Like, I think what we're going to lose...
But you can bring your own stuff.
We're going to lose out on that thing of, like, hey, guys, we're going to head across the street, grab some drinks for the day from the 7-Eleven... and come back here, since we're going to... Like, that's how it was when I went to Disneyland, which was, like, the deeper you got into the park, the more the food prices went up, because the more work it would be to head back outside to go to a regular people's thing. So you have to go to one of the fancy Disneyland Coke stands. We're like, here's a 200-milliliter glass bottle. That'll be $5, please.
Well, this is what you do when you get off the airplane in Orlando. You head over to the duty-free shop. and you buy hella sodas.
Just bring a spare duffel bag with me. Stuff it full.
Yeah. Be like, hey, I need to buy all these sodas.
You see that cabinet? I need that all in here right now. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm going to Disney World. Oh, all right, sir.
Yeah, I got to look up some of the attractions that they have at Disney World because, I mean, I was pretty little when the family went to Disneyland, but the Tiki Lounge is like the most awesome place.
I think I had some chicken there once.
Yeah, that's where they have the mechanical birds singing and stuff.
Yeah, they have the animatronic parrots and stuff.
Right.
It's changed so much, man. I mean, I haven't been to... The last park that I went to at Disney was Epcot, and that was over 10 years ago. So it's been a while since I've there. I know a lot of the old classic stuff is still there. There has been an occasional attraction or two that they finally ended up discontinuing. But, I mean, I'm sure it's on the website, but...
Yeah,
the tiki, I'd have a hard time believing that if that was gone. But
no, if they took that out, then somebody screwed up.
Yeah,
but if they have that there, I definitely want to.
They still have the classic Pirates of the Caribbean in the Magic Kingdom, which is predates the movie by far.
Has it been updated though? Because I think the one at Land.
It has been updated. Yeah, it has been updated.
Okay,
with movie characters, but all the classic stuff that inspired the movie is still there.
Man, this is gonna be cool. All right, we got to move along because we're getting Disney'd. We're getting hardcore Disney'd here. We're getting the stars in our eyes. We're like, dude, Disney World. Like, we're gonna be able to talk about this a lot over the next like six-ish months, I think. So. We should push along. We should quickly take an intermission break and then talk about things we got before we get pulled in by the specter of Walt himself. Although that would be a pretty cool way to go. Anyway, intermission time!
Hey guys, Drew here, wishing you all a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Sorry I couldn't partake in tonight's festivities, but I'm out gallivanting. Woo! In the spirit of the holiday season, I'm going to give you a special treat. A What We Got This Week Christmas Edition. The setting was 1989, and I was knee-deep in Micro Masters and Action Masters. I must have rented the original 1986 movie a dozen times a year at the old Blockbuster, noting that this Blockbuster bill was indeed becoming a Blockbuster itself. My parents decided that maybe they should give me the movie for Christmas. Needless to say, at the age of 4, I was ridiculously surprised when this showed up. It's a great holiday memory for me. It served as the highlight of that Christmas. Yes, a $7 item served as the highlight of a Christmas. But it is a lasting family memory. And all right, back on's in Florida. Maybe I'll have to go. Maybe I have to go. We'll see. In the meantime, I'm going to throw it back to the ad team. We'll see you in 2010. 2010 being the year Japan decided Rodimus going to be a big hit. Boom.
We're back with What We Got This Week.
Week.
Seth.
So weak.
What did you get this week? La, 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 la. Ba-ba-dum-bum-ba.
Tired, man.
I mean, you can go to bed if you want.
That was incredible.
I know, man. I'm so tired. Anyway, the only purchasing I did for myself was I got a couple more of those blind pack Star Wars vehicles.
Blind packs are addictive, man. I know. Yeah,
where did you get those from again?
There's a local mom and pop toy store.
Oh.
They had a case of them. So I grabbed two, take them home, open one of them up, and it's a Darth Vader's TIE Fighter.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. That's a good one. And I open up the other one, Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. I'm like,
oh, man.
The curse of Blind Pack. And then another store in town, Hobby Town USA, which is like a chain hobby store. They had a different wave, I think an earlier wave, because this one seemed more Empire Strikes Back centric. And then this wave was more New Hope. And they had some for a while. And they had kind of a cool thing going on in that store. They had one pack open and on display. And if you bought one and you didn't like what you got, you could trade it for whatever was already open.
Oh, cool.
And then that becomes the open one. But I guess they were getting impatient and they weren't selling. So they just opened all of them and then circled on the box what you were getting. So there was a regular TIE Fighter. And I went, hey, I got Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. I got a regular TIE Fighter, too, and put them next to each other. So that's what I got this week. And, man, they're so well made. Like, the sculpt is so great.
What company does them again?
F-Toys.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my dad has a few World War II planes that they had done. And, again, just incredible work.
There's some guys who are just awesome at that kind of thing. And, like, I know that the Star Wars-y's types, what was it? They used to have this thing called Action Fleet, which was, like, the large-scale toyetic.
I used to have lots of them.
Yeah, and Action Fleet seemed to actually somehow become Star Wars Transformers, from what I was told. So I'm happy to hear that there's another way to get nicely done Star Wars vehicles without going the route of, like, big, complicated model kits and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, in that one... The wave that the TIE Fighter was in, they had a AT, ST, the two-legged one.
Yeah, yeah.
And that comes with a little scout trooper on a little speeder bike also. And, man, that one would have been sweet to get, but they didn't have that one. And it looks like, at least with the ships, there's an AT-AT. I don't know if the AT-AT is to scale with the ships, but it seems that at least the ships are in proper scale with each other. And I guess I just never realized how much bigger a Y-Wing was to the TIE Fighters. The TIE Fighter's, like, tiny.
Man.
But it's cool. They're cool.
Very nice.
Toys is cool.
All right. Gog, did you F some toys to yourself?
Did I what?
Never mind. What'd you get?
No, I want to explore. What did you just say?
I said,
did I what
did,
toys?
Did you F some toys to yourself?
Did I F them to myself?
Yes.
I have no clue what you're inferring, my friend.
Neither do I. I was kind of running with it. I like the name of that company. It was stuck in my head. I was like, F toys.
Oh.
They take it serious.
I'm slow. I got three. Things. Last 2 weeks.
You got a tongue.
I got a tongue.
Tongue in it.
I've had that though. I've had that for at the very least 3 decades. But I got the winter edition Figma draw sole with super ski tank treads, and it's cool and. If you know what I'm talking about, then you know. And if you don't, then you should look and see, because it's cool if you like Fireball, which I do. So, oh, yeah. That was a cool little deal. Sucks because it was a pack-in with the Fireball Japanese Region 2 DVD, and I don't mind if it's Region 2 because I have hacks that let me watch it, except for there's no subtitles, so I still got to watch my HD BitTorrent downloaded versions, which is fine. Yeah, I mean, it would have been cool if they had some subtitles, but whatever. I mean,
whatever.
So, I got two other things. The two things that I hinted at last week, or didn't really hint, but said that I had hoped that I was going to get them by last episode, and I did not. But I received both of them in the meantime.
Woo!
One of them is the Encore number, I believe it's 19. I don't have the box handy. I think it's 19. Or it's either 16 or 19. Encore Cassettes, Big Mission number 3. Got me the first reissue Frenzy and Rumble cassettes, which is awesome. They're tampoed. I am digging them. It's cool. The only ones that I had before that were some knockoff versions, which were really loose. Stickers just came right off. It was cool to have them to fiddle around with and do funny things with. But now I'm finally legit, and I'm glad. I like them. They're great. Overkill. Overkill's cool. Never had Overkill before. It is Overkill, right?
The white one? That, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Overkill.
So Overkill's cool. I almost... it's possible I came close to breaking it because the legs look like they're supposed to like pop out or extend a little bit. And I'm like, they're not moving. So I looked at the instructions and no, they don't. Even though the plastic there is two separate pieces and they're different color. I guess it's just so they could be a different color just so you can tell that they're supposed to be legs. But it would have been cool if the legs kind of pulled out a little bit or something. It just looks like they're meant to, but I guess not. But it's still cool. I mean, cassettes. I love cassettes. They're great. The only disappointment is that Laserbeak is not tampographed like every other cassette that I've gotten so far. This might be old news to some because I have the second and third sets. I didn't pick up the first set. I'm kicking myself because they had them at BotCon earlier this year for $35, and it's impossible to find them at that price now. And that came with Buzzsaw. And I'm assuming Buzzsaw wasn't tempoed either. So I guess for people who missed out or just didn't pick up the first set because they already had Eject, Rewind, Buzzsaw, and what was the third one? Was it Ravage?
I think.
So, yeah. So I assume that Buzzsaw on that probably wasn't tempoed either, but I guess I just never bothered to notice or read about it or whatever. So. It's kind of, I mean, that was kind of disappointing because I already have like two or three laser beaks. And like my justification for getting the third one was that it'll be tempoed like the rest of them. It'll be great. And he wasn't. He stickered. So
come on, guys.
I mean, the stickers seem to be a higher quality than the other laser beaks that I have. It's I mean, they're good. It's good. I mean, it's a high quality reissue. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It just kind of stinks because he doesn't have the upgrade that the rest of them do.
It's like, so, it's like we were almost at Encore number 20, guys, and you pulled this. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Actually,
so
that does blow my mind, though, when you said Encore 19 or 16. I was like, I remember when it was Encore 1, and we were like, whoa. Like,
hold on just a second.
you were like, whoa?
Well, I was kind of like, whoa, like that, because I was like, Encore. Whoa. Big surprise.
It's 19.
19?
I would have kicked myself if I got it wrong. So, yeah, we're at 19, but... So, I mean, whatever. Laserbeak is still cool. He's my whatever. But, I mean, the other three I didn't have. So, either way, the set is worth it. And it's great. So, and the other thing that I got was Clear Henkei Gente Starscream. He finally came. He is rock freaking solid, man. So like, no, I don't know what happened to Thundercracker.
No mold
I don't
degradation
know.
Whatsoever on that.
No. Guy. So, either they did some retooling or something, or... Thundercracker was just a complete anomaly of horrific proportions. I don't know. I mean, the blasters, missile launchers go into the arms. They're tight. They're great. All the joints on this one are, I mean, it's just solid. It's, I mean, I compared it to my, because I have the original Henkei Starscream. I have basically every version of this mold except for the BotCon versions. And Henkei Skywarp, because I had the Universe Skywarp. But, I mean, I have like seven or eight of these things. The first two, the regular classics, the original 2006 classic Starscream and the Henkei version are the two. I mean, they're rock solid. They're tight. All the indents, I mean, fit perfectly. This is a slight step down from those two, but it's still on par with everything. I mean, everything is great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I it just blows my mind what happened with Thundercracker and how that passed, like, QC.
Because,
I mean, everyone, there were people that did not buy the clear Starscream just based on the previous experience with those, with the Skywarp and the Thundercracker.
I was wondering if that was the case, because it's like, man, if they listen to this podcast, they're going to probably feel a little bit burned, because I'm guessing that dude didn't really get cheaper ever since the pre-orders, unless he's still available.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that you got it, and it didn't turn out to be a Phantom.
It's true.
It kind of is. I mean, it's designed in a phantom's image.
It's phantasmic, but it's not a phantom.
Yeah. But no, he's, I'm very, very happy. Took lots of pictures and, no, it's good. I don't have a lot of clear figures. I think the only other one that I can think of is the Biotech Mirage. I may have another one, but I don't think so. But yeah, so yeah, it's great. Lupus, eat it. I don't know if he has it yet.
I think he has it on pre-order.
He has it on pre-order. He doesn't have it in hand, you know, on his in his light box. He doesn't have that.
He might have it now, though. I mean, like, we can't be
sure. He might, but
he's in that weird, you know, limbo that all you guys enter between weeks when we
that's fine.
When we put you in the tubes.
But in the virtual rhetoric, you know, he's second fiddle. He's second fiddle
in the virtual rhetoric. I gotta remember that one. I got a lot this week. The package I raged about and two or three other packages showed up the day after the last recording. So the one I was hoping to have for the last recording was my EMS box from HLJ that had a Metal Durr in it, who was cool, but it also had Alternity Cliff. And I bought Alternity Cliff entirely because Metal Durr was one of HLJ's sale items that would give you free shipping. And I was like, well, if I already got this thing with free shipping, why don't I throw in Cliff? Because I've recently been turned onto him because of his character bio, and I'd like to know what that mold is like. When you get it, Cliff in vehicle mode looks friggin' tiny, and you start to rage slightly because he's in the same size box, but he's a lot smaller than the other two in vehicle mode. So you're like, my God, I just spent $50 on this tiny little thing. Then you start transforming him, and like, the big victory that this mold pulls off is he transforms absolutely nothing like the other two alternatives, with his automorph being this psychotic, like, thing where you push this enormous rod his head is connected to down his spine, which transforms his hips, his head, and causes his entire giant bulbous stomach to compress. So
that sounds uncomfortably hard.
It is uncomfortably hard to do because it is scary to do because you're basically pushing or pulling the toy from two sides at the same time with tons of little plastic hinge bits in the middle, and it feels like you're going to rip it in half, but it's very satisfying. And much like I had, I guess, in a way feared, when you have this guy in hand and you actually mess around with him and you're not just looking at pictures of him, he is actually a lot nicer looking than the shots of him that we got. And I can say that, you know, Alternity is 3 for 3 now of me going like, eh, doesn't look all that great. Ooh, that looks nice. All right, I'll buy it. Oh my God, this is awesome. Like, Alternity is like, the gimmick.
I want,
you know?
Yeah, I want that mold bad. I want both of them, and I have every intention of buying them. I mean, hopefully it'll get to be before BotCon.
Well, I can tell you the Cliff, the red on him is, like, I've only seen pictures of Bumblebee, but as far as I know, Bumblebee has a flat yellow. And Cliff's red is like this sparkly, shiny metallic that's like way more metallic than the Convoy red.
So, yeah, I want it.
It's a very good toy. Like, you know, the only weakness I can really point out, aside from the frightening transformation process, is that even though he is better looking in person, his legs are still a little bit thin and his feet are still a little bit haphazard.
But, and his belly is still a little bit big.
It's a little bit big, but I gotta tell you, in person, it really does.
No, I agree. It could have been improved upon. I agree. It's not as bad as our fears.
What really helps it originally. Is the automorph involves the front windshield and hood literally just sucking into the chest area, and that makes it look less like a belly and more like just this is a robot with a big chest. So he's got more of giant boobs than a big belly.
Yeah.
I find.
Sexy!
But it's a cool toy. And that wasn't all that showed up. Like I said, lots of packages showed up. I also got from HLJ Robot Damashi O-Riser, which is a little accessory for a Gundam I have, and a little Kiwami Tamashi Kamen Rider Fies. Most solid toy in that line so far. And what else showed up? Oh! So I got a box today, too. Yeah, crazy, isn't it? It's Christmas season. From Hailstorm, who proxy bought something for me. Basically, a Scotsman named Jai D ended up with a million Tilas because he has this ongoing battle with Mattel and they keep screwing things up. Anyway, he was like, do you want a Tila for 15 bucks? Otherwise, Nicole's just going to send them to me. So I was like, sure, I'll buy a Tila for 15 bucks. So then I email Hailstorm like, hey, I bought a tiny plastic woman off of Jidee and it is in your possession. But before you send it, I would like to add a large burly green robot. So could you please tell me if you have any long hauls in the area? So I got the box today with Tila, who looks like Tila, and Long Haul, who is a very toy. Long Haul, I love the way this dude transforms, because he is a pretty burly robot, and he turns into a pretty tiny vehicle compared to his robot size. So it's very impressive engineering there. And I got to give props, because Jidee, you know, within 2 weeks, I paid him for a Tila that he actually had in another country, and it still got here faster than the Scareglow that I paid for over a month ago from Mattel themselves. So people who buy from Mattel are better at selling their toys than Mattel. That's kind of a sad thing, but an interesting thing. But Nicole also said she was going to throw something else in there when I finally got an email back telling me how much to pay her. And I look, and she threw an electrostatic sound wave, an activator sound wave. So it's like, holy crap.
So, electrostatic activator sound wave.
That's right. So I'm.
Don't you like the colors on that sound wave? Animated.
I haven't opened them yet, but deluxe. Yeah, they are.
Ugh, why are you even talking about it? Just he's go there. Back to
he's there.
Frickin' Victoria.
I am in Victoria. Suck it.
Well, go deeper into Victoria.
That's uncomfortably hard. How deep I'd be going?
Going all the way to Quebec.
I like the red. On the translucent parts, it's really candy, shiny, techie red. And the gray is somehow the gray, for being a dull, dark gray, does not look flat to me. It's like, this is the kind of gray that I wish Revenge of the Fallen Prime had, because it's like, it's an unpainted gray that doesn't look like an unpainted gray. That's the best way I can describe it. But
what was that again?
The gray that's used.
I mean, on
the,
what?
Oh, like on Revenge of the Fallen Leader Prime, as an example. Okay. Like, you know, what I call the Games Workshop gray, that light gray that, like, looks particularly unpainted. Also, I got some that I was surprised by, because a guy on YouTube called Face Meets Floor said he got these really cool things called Sunrise Robot Collection. And I saw these on HLJ. They were on sale for a while. They're like little blind-packed robots. And I thought, oh, it's little figurines. I'm not that interested. And he tells me they're really cool and they're super poseable. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, you want a couple. I was just going to give them to my family and friends. So I'm like, well, you should probably give them to your family and friends first, because they're like your family and friends. And he's like, well, they don't actually really care about these that much. So, like, I'll send you a Zambot and another one. So I got this, like, really wicked little Zambot dude who's like, 3.5 inches tall, and I got this really wicked little green Votom scope dog dude who's like 3 inches tall, and they're really poseable and they're really cool. So I've had a very nice week, and it's not Christmas. Oh! And then Gary Optimus Scourge, his thing showed up because he heard me on the podcast whining about how expensive Human Alliance Sideswipe is. So he's like, you know, okay, so it costs you like 55 after taxes, right? How about I sell you my Sideswipe, my Fallen, and my Blue Soundwave for 55? So I was like, okay, and I got them, and Sideswipe, I'm very happy that he wasn't 55 all by himself, but I don't really mind the toy. The Fallen, I like this Fallen toy. Like, I know a lot of people are coming down on it, but maybe it's because I read that interview where I heard that the designer designed this toy with a single image of the robot mode. So I'm warmed up to it. And little Blue Soundwave, he works entirely because of the weird translucent pale yellow. I don't know why, but that makes him work. And I'm actually kind of more impressed with him than I thought. So that's all the stuff I got this week. Wow, that's a lot. Anyway, we should continue on with a sudden topic! War for Cybertron Starscream design. Brawlestator has posted an image of it. This was shared to me by my secret grapevine sources, which is my special word for the Skype chat window. And,
Suddenly topics.
This thing looks pretty cool. It's, very G1-ish, kind of movie-ish on the mouth. I'm looking at the robot mode right now. I'm moving down. Vehicle mode! Not quite as cool.
Yeah.
It looks like this thing is trying to be a jet, a tetrajet, and a rocket at the same time.
Kind of reminds me of, what was that, Energon Starscream?
Yeah, but look at those tiny wings.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying that It's a good thing. It's just, it kind of looks like us. I don't even know about the robot mode. Those feet look like their thrusters kind of feet.
And this looks like concept art too. Well, this is concept art. It was designed, it says September 10th, 2008.
Oh,
wow.
Concept.
It says for Hasbro review version number one. So there's a good chance that this has changed. Yeah. I hope so. I mean, with some tweaking, I could see doing something with it, but that vehicle mode needs to have something done with it.
It's depressing.
Like, take it out in the back and...
It's not really any one part of it, because all the single parts of it are great. It's just that, like, it's a great cockpit with two very nice looking wings if they were bigger, and then a giant rocket booster that's bigger than everything else in front. And, like, I think this could even work even if you just, like, flip those wings around so they weren't swept forward. But, like, yeah. Well, you know, this is a great start, well, no, like
it,
you said.
It's got potential if you do some pretty significant change.
I think it's like it's the
I
silhouette.
Guess it's not potential
it's,
at
it's
all.
It's the silhouette that needs to be changed. The details are great, but the actual silhouette of that vehicle mode needs another look at, because it looks literally like a rocket, like a bottle rocket, or it looks like a bottle rocket that has wings stuck on it. So. Yeah, I'd hope that they'd up that. But I like the robot mode. I don't mind the big, stumpy legs, because I think of him as just like, well, that means he can fly really fast, because his legs are friggin'...
Those are good legs if you're an Ent from The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, you know, Ents are cool. They were the best part of the second movie for me, so I respect the Ents. And yes, I said movie. Come after me, book fans. Reading is for last century. I don't know. I like his chest, and the lines on the mouth work for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's got potential. I have a feeling it's going to be changed. I mean, I don't see Aaron Archer giving that the thumbs up.
This was over, like you said, this was over a year ago, September 2008, when this concept art was done. Which is a great extra bit of proof, just in case anyone out there still doesn't believe it, that yes, it does in fact take that long to develop Transformers.
Well, and to develop a game, and if this is a game design, that's pretty close to when I would think that they would have to have designs done and be programming. But I don't know. Maybe they just slapdash this game, and I don't know.
Well, let's also, you know, maybe, because these are two different artists, maybe...
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I just noticed that.
Maybe Billy King just did a really bad job of drawing the vehicle. Like, maybe he perspectived it kind of in a Liefeld way, and we're looking at the thing from, like, two or three perspectives at the same time. I don't know, because the vehicle in concept, right? Like, a thin rocket ship with big Starscream wings and a cockpit on the front, I could dig that. It's just that
it looks like a couple of jet parts just attached to a giant hunk of metal.
Yeah.
I mean the middle portion is just, I mean, it looks like a Imperial Star Destroyer from Star Wars.
That tiny little tetrajet fin at the top, where it's like, by the way, he used to turn into a pyramid too. We remember that. It's like, okay, but...
Hey, let's put an homage to G1 tetrajet
on the top. Okay, we'll put it up there. Yeah, I'm sure this is not wholly indicative, just partially indicative of the final product. But yeah, we'll see when we get more renders and such. But there are some people saying these look very movie to them. I'm actually, I don't know. Like, I'm seeing movie in the hands and the face, but this is looking way more... this actually looks very Cybertron to me. Very, maybe a little Energon-y, but very Cybertron-y to me. It's mostly the way the lines are drawn on.
Yeah, I mean, maybe even mixed in with a little bit of Transtech.
Yeah. Insert rumor about this being Transtech Starscream with new paint apps somehow.
No, that's what the BotCon exclusive is going to be.
Oh,
that's right. Unreleased. Oh. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Hey guys, we found the mold. Want it for BotCon? The cars are like, sorry about that. We thought we'd make you about 3,000 of them as a consolation.
Wow. Could you imagine if it was, though? People would go bananas.
I would go bananas pretty hardcore.
Bananas.
My head would explode.
It would be like a Gwen Stefani song.
We probably won't find out until 5 days before the convention anyway.
But on Stolen Chinese guys, they're going to actually wait this time. They're going to wait till everyone has flown out, and then everyone who didn't fly out gets to see it while we're all in the air. They're like, thought we'd do this special little deal for you guys. We should move on to the listener question, because Mr. Biatis has been waiting a while. So long, in fact, that there is no audio for his question. So I'm going to craft it right now with the power of my throat. It's disturbingly hard. I'm getting into that.
Uncomfortably hard.
This is disturbingly hard.
Yeah, this is disturbing.
There's nothing uncomfortable about this. This is now disturbing. This is like shudders down your spine hard. Quote, greetings WTF at TFW. My question is, subquote, which Transformer, bracket Transformers, from any continuity do you think has...
Parenthesis. Parenthesis, not a bracket.
Okay, sorry.
Continue, I'm sorry.
Rewind. Subquote, which Transformer, parentheses, Transformers, end parentheses, from any continuity do you think has the most awesome voice, end subquote, end quote? Gog, what is your answer?
Man, I'd have to say some of the Beast Wars characters were pretty impressive. I mean, any of Scott McNeil's voices are just top-notch. I mean, who doesn't, picture Waspinator every time they hear that voice? I mean, Waspinator was great. Dinobot, those are all, it was amazing voice work in that series. And even then, David Kaye as Megatron. I think the Beast Wars Megatron was some of his best voice work. I mean, even though he reprised his role as with the Megatron voice in the Unicron trilogy, I don't think that it had the same personality as Beast Wars.
Wasn't quite as special.
I really like Tarantulas too from Beast Wars. I was a big fan of Tarantulas. He was probably my favorite Beast Wars character, and I liked his voice too. So I don't know. I mean, just take any handful of the voice. I mean, and who else from Beast Wars? What's his name? Depth Charge. I love Depth Charge.
Sobolov.
Yeah. So cool, yeah. I mean, just any of those. From Beast Wars, it was all amazing voice work in there, and it just every one of them, without becoming cheesy. You know, was just full of personality and character, and helped craft those characters. So,
very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Seth, how would you answer this question?
I've always really loved the Shockwave voice, just that sort of kind of little bit of an English accent, but like also almost like breathless back of the throat sounding.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's just a great voice for someone who can be as creepy as Shockwave can be, like intelligent sounding,
yeah.
But and up to something. Like it's a really great voice. There's been lots of great voice actors in Transformers that have done great jobs. And lucky enough to meet a few of those fellows at last year's BotCon, and they all just seem like the hella nice guys too. So I kind of feel bad to like call one dude out and not somebody else. So, but yeah, in particular, like if I just have to pick one voice, I think Shockwave is just a great voice.
Yeah, it's a very hard decision to just go, like, one Transformer. I'm very glad that we had the parentheses S on the end of that. I could go on way too long about this. So, like, you know, to echo one of Gog's, David Kaye's Megatron, easily one of the most powerful voices. Also, Tarantulas, very, very memorable voice. With Seth's, I highly agree about Corey Burton's Shockwave, especially because it's like for all those times where it's like, man, I wish Shockwave did more in the cartoon. Animated comes around and that Shockwave voice gets to do a hell of a lot more cool stuff. So that really satisfied that Shockwave tinge I'd had in my spine for decades. And those would be easily ones I'd pick out right away. And I'd also to go for a very non-conventional one, because I'm totally contrarian like that. I did not hear very much of it because I did not watch every episode of this series, but I caught a few episodes of the dub of Galaxy Force Soundwave in Cybertron, and I actually found that particular iteration to be quite creepy at times, if only because there was this guy doing a very generic, incredibly generic DJ-ish voice the whole time, but beneath that was this really creepy feedbacked kind of like iteration of the exact same voice that was like a half step behind his normal one. And I kind of liked that because to me it felt like this Soundwave had crafted this voice that was very generic, but it was still something he had to like craft and work and put together in his vocal cords or vocal parts or whatever. So like even though he's speaking quite normally, you're hearing this really inhuman voice speaking right behind it, almost like it's speaking through a vocoder itself. And I kind of like that effect. I'm not even sure if it was intentional, but I always felt that the Cybertron Soundwave voice had that really cool creepiness to it that was very much overlooked by a lot of people who heard it, because a lot of Cybertron was highly overlooked for fairly palpable and respectable reasons. But that would be one that I'd throw out there. Like I said, there's tons. Well,
and speaking of Soundwave, how did we forget that sing-song
Mandarin Soundwave.
Mandarin Soundwave.
Hell yeah, Mandarin Soundwave.
I can't remember if it was Mandarin or Cantonese, but it's Mandarin. Damn, that's awesome Soundwave.
That is still the best Soundwave we ever got. Like, I thought Welker was good, but my God, when I heard Mandarin Soundwave, there's a reason why that guy got to be on like 15 intermissions or whatever. Like,
no, all Soundwave should sing from now on. Like, she's like, Rumble and Frenzy, time to eject, Operation, tear stuff up.
And the best part of that was, like, because it was a dub, no one commented on the fact that he was the only guy singing. And I thought that made it even better if no one ever brings it up. They're just like, dude, he's singing. Like, don't say anything.
He's weird like that.
He's a freaking weirdo, but he's really good at what he does. The last guy who talked about the singing.
But he also has this, like, gang of midgets that does whatever he says, so, like, don't mess with him. He'll send the midgets after you.
It's like, but the dude is singing like a soprano. It's like, shut up.
I know, but dude, those midgets' arms turn into pile drivers.
All right. Don't freaking tell him he's singing. Just glare. Just point and don't move. All right. Point at the humans. Yeah, Mandarin Soundwave was awesome. Really cool. I'm kind of bummed out because I'm really sure that the Mandarin dub of Revenge of the Fallen, he's probably not singing.
Yeah, that'd be dumb.
And it's lesser for it.
It is lesser for it. I mean, like, imagine if when he's, like, totally merging with that satellite, if he was singing the whole time, too. Commencing merging sequence! He's, like, shoving all his hits into the thing. I don't know.
Well, then he'd be singing, like, Barry White. Oh, baby. We're gonna merge tonight.
Mandarin Soundwave needs to be in more things. I mean, like, you got your cult favorites, you got your Nightbeat, you know, you got your Cup, you got your whatever else, you got your funny train dude. The train that, bought from Japan with the name that was like Joe or something like that. None of them are
the
as
one
cool
that was
as,
red.
Yeah, none of them are as cool as Mandarin. That's Mandarin Soundwave's got to be the cult transformer for this century. I will dedicate at least 2 minutes of my time to that. Anyway, Mr. Biatis, we hope we answered your question to the best of our ability. Because now it's that time when we have to draw the podcast to a close. Unless I'm forgetting about something I'm supposed to bring up, but I don't think I am. We even shoved that Starscream topic in, so can't say that we weren't being on the ball. So until next time.
Wait, one thing that I just remembered in Modern Warfare.
Oh, yeah?
When you get the challenge for calling in however many Pavlo helicopters, you get a title that says Transformer.
Ooh.
Because of Blackout from the movie.
That is a
was
really.
A Pavlo.
That's a really tie-in. Stretching tie in. Hey, dude, you call in a lot of helicopters? You remember the helicopter from that movie?
Yeah, Infinity War, they get hot, and they watch Transformer movies.
And they hate grenades, but they still program them in. They just victimize you for using them. Anyway, goodbye, everyone. Leave us iTunes reviews. Stay tuned. Have a very Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Yeah, doom on you, Mr. Tango.
What you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.